Today on The Journey.
God's placed each of us in strategic places at strategic times. No one else but you, not just to fit in, but to stand out as a follower of Jesus Christ.
You wield significant power. Too often, it's unexamined and misunderstood. But even in ignorance, it remains significant. In this half hour, Ron Moore begins a series that takes a hard look at that power and its lasting effects on those around you. First, a brief word about our free offer of Ron's audio resource titled Owning My Influence. Here he examines five landmarks that lead to an enduring legacy. It's available at ronmoore.org, and I'll have more details later in the broadcast. Now, here's Ron with the message, Understanding My Influence on the Journey.
Well, in the late 1990s, the huge computer company Hewlett-Packard faced a defining moment. They were in the middle of the longest financial slump the company had ever experienced. Revenues in 1999 had grown just 7% compared to Sun Microsystems' 20% growth, and even the huge IBM grew 12% that year. Something had to change. And so the board decided, for the first time since the company started in a Palo Alto garage in 1938, they brought in another leader from the outside to take hold and lead their company, a charismatic leader named Carly Fiorina. She had led the spinoff of Lucent from AT&T, and they liked what they saw, and they brought her in to shake things up, and shake things up she did. Fiorina hit the ground running. She first consolidated everything so that every department came right through her office. She had her hand on it all. She orchestrated a merger with the Compaq company that made them right then the largest computer company in the United States. When things started going south in 2013, they didn't hit some numbers, she began firing people, firing high executives. When the board asked her to spread the leadership around, she refused. And when the stock continued to decline, she fired the top sales executives. She earned the nickname Chainsaw Carly. Finally, the Hewlett-Packard stock fell to 55% below the pre-Carly price, and the board parted ways with her. The day she left, Hewlett-Packard stock jumped 10.5%. Wall Street said they had lost their faith in her, and the market's hope was that anybody would do better. But Fiorina's biggest issue was not stock market. Her biggest problem was this. Every issue she faced, every challenge she had, every failure in the company was always someone else's fault. She would never own up to anything she had done. In his book called Derailed, Tim Irwin addresses lessons learned from top leaders who failed to take the company where it needed to go. And here's what he concluded about Fiorina. On Fiorina's downfall, he wrote, it is perhaps simplest to conclude that what led to her derailment was the shortcoming she saw abundantly in others, but did not acknowledge in herself. Fiorina was always quick to call others on the rug when they did not deliver, but was dismissive when called to the rug herself. Failure was always someone else's fault, even her own failure. Here's my question as we start this year. Anyone here have a little bit of Chainsaw Carly in you? We have a hard time, don't we? Owning our life. Always someone else's fault. Today we're going to begin a sermon series called Legacy. Owning My Influence. And we're going to focus on this truth throughout this series. It's not what you have. It's what you leave. For this series, we're going to use as an outline a list of leader qualifications, specifically elder qualifications, found in 1 Timothy 3 and Titus 1. Again, these are specifically qualifications for elders, but they apply to every follower of Jesus Christ, whether an adult or a young adult or a teenager or even a child. These are the characteristics Scripture says needs to be present in your life, needs to be ingrained in your being. If you're going to leave a legacy, if you're going to be the person that God wants you to be. Here are the character traits that we're going to be looking at. First, next time, desire and passion. Man, I believe that there is in the life of every believer really cranking it up, really following God, a desire and a passion to step it up, to do what you need to do to be the person God's calling you to be. Living above reproach, not just fitting in. I think there is this teaching going on in the church today that, you know what, we just need to fit in because we don't want anyone to think we're different. Really? God didn't call us to fit in. God called us to be a light that shines, to be a force to reckon with. So people can say, what's going on in your life that you handle this trial differently? What is going on in your life? Managing our home. We got to get that down. I had an old professor who said, if Christianity doesn't work at home, it doesn't work. Self-control. There are habits we got to break, and there are some habits we got to pick up. Respectable. Living a life that others look at. There's a respectability in your life. Hospitable. That doesn't mean just inviting people over for coffee. It means to invest in the lives of others. Able to teach. Knowing what you believe and why you believe it. And you're able to share that with others who come into your life. Peaceful, not quarrelsome, is another characteristic. And then not a lover of money. God uses money. But the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Now we're going to look at all of Scripture to support these characteristics, to see what we have to do to own our influence. But our primary source, our primary Scripture during this series is going to be three books, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and Titus. These are called the pastoral letters or the pastoral epistles. These were letters written by Paul, some of the last letters he wrote. 1 Timothy is written first, then Titus, then 2 Timothy is the last book Paul wrote. He's in prison. He knows that his life is about over, and he's sharing his heart. And we're going to see some deeply personal things as Paul shares these with these two young men, Timothy and Titus. Now we're going to drill into those characteristics beginning next time, but today what I want to do is just to set a groundwork. I believe we see in these books there are four things we have to know and accept if we're going to own our influence, if we're going to leave a legacy, because it's not what we have now, is it? It's what we leave. Owning my influence begins with a keen understanding of God's mercy. Now, here we're going to look at the pastoral epistles. Here's the Apostle Paul. There was no one like Paul in the New Testament. He had founded churches all over the world. He had written letters to these churches. He was held in high esteem. And there are a lot of times when we are in a high position, we get a little full of ourselves, but not Paul. Here's what he writes to Timothy in chapter 1 of 1 Timothy, verse 12. I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who has given me strength that has considered me faithful, appointing me to his service. Even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man, I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his unlimited patience as an example of those who would believe on him and receive eternal life. Man, Paul is at the end of his life, but he has never forgotten God's great mercy. Now, certainly as believers, we want to know who we are, and we know that our identity is in Christ, and we are forgiven, and we are secure, and we are accepted by him, and we are free to live the life that he wants us to live. And those truths are tremendous, but I got to tell you what, we always have to keep close to our hearts and minds what God saved us from. God's mercy can never be too far from our heart. I think many Christians get spiritually proud and spiritually arrogant of where they are in their lives, and very impatient with others who aren't quite up to where they are or where they think they should be, because they forget God's great mercy. So if we're going to own our influence, what God has saved us from, that has to be always in our minds and in our hearts. Number two, owning my influence is grounded in solid and sound truth. Now remember, Paul is at the end of his life, and he knows his life is not going to endure. But he knows one thing will endure, and that is the Word of God. And over and over and over in these books, he tells Timothy and he tells Titus, don't forget the truth. Don't forget to teach and live out sound doctrine. We see the word truth all the way through the pastoral letters. Sometimes he uses the phrase knowledge of the truth. Sometimes he calls the church the pillar of the truth. Paul wants to make certain that in a culture opposed to truth, Timothy and Titus never back down on the Word of God. Look at what Paul says in 2 Timothy 4, verse 2. Preach the Word. Never back down on that. Be prepared in season and out of season. You preach sound doctrine. You teach sound doctrine. You live out sound doctrine when it is popular and when it's not. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For a time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. And they'll turn their ears from the truth and turn aside the mist, but you keep your head in all situations. Timothy, stick to the Word. Now, I understand that is not popular in today's culture. But if we're going to be those who make a difference, and if we're going to leave a legacy, we've got to be those who say, this is God's Word. By the way, if you don't believe God's Word, you're toast the rest of the way. If you don't have an anchor, you just get blown about by any wind that comes. But this is the Word of God. And Paul says, Timothy, never, ever back down on it. By the way, unless you are allowing the Word of God to sink into your mind and sink into your heart, then you're not going to have the characteristics that are worth leaving. Number three, owning my influence requires discipline. It requires me doing something. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. Paul says this, have nothing to do with godless myths and old wives' tales. Rather, train yourselves to be godly. That word train is the Greek word gymnazo. We get gymnasium from it. And when Paul wrote that word, he was not thinking about going to the fitness center and running on a treadmill. Paul was thinking about professional athletes in a gym, working out every day, sweating and straining and training their bodies. Paul says, train yourself to be godly. For physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promises for both the present life and what? The life to come. And godliness leaves a tremendous legacy. In these books, Paul's going to address everything from marriage to money. He's going to address everything from godless chatter to God-honoring worship. And Paul is going to remind Timothy and Titus over and over and over and over again, there has to be discipline in your Christian life. There are things you have to start doing that you weren't doing last year, and you got to start doing them this year. There were things you were doing last year, you got to stop doing. There are decisions that you need to carry out. There are temptations you need to run from. There are commitments you need to keep. There are boundaries you need to set. If I'm going to own my influence, if I'm going to leave a legacy, that requires discipline in my Christian life. Now, here's where I think a lot of believers get crossways. First, we say, okay, we became a Christian, all by God's grace. Nothing we could do to earn it, nothing we could do to deserve it. We were headed away from God, and in his mercy, he saved us. Then we step over here and say, okay, I got to do all these things on my own. I've got to be the one that makes this happen. It's only partly true. What we forget is the same grace and the same mercy that saves us is the same grace and the same mercy that allows us to do the things we need to do to honor God. It's the Holy Spirit that lives within us when we become a Christian that gives us all the strength we need and the passion we need and the desire we need to be the Christian God's calling us to be. So don't say, God saved me by his grace, and now on my own, I have to be disciplined. It's a both and. Yeah, I have a responsibility. And God's going to give me the help. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 13, 14. Paul says, guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. And here's the key. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in you. Paul is saying, be disciplined, Timothy, and do it through the Holy Spirit who lives in you. So you're sitting here today and you say, Ron, I'd like to read God's word. I don't have any desire. Well, begin to pray. Give me the desire to read your word. Give me a desire to be obedient to you. Give me a desire to stop doing the unhealthy things I'm doing and start doing the things that are going to allow me to leave a legacy. Number four. Owning my influence needs fresh and frequent reminders. So Paul's writing to two guys he knew really well. Titus went on several mission trips with Paul. And when Paul wrote his letter to the church in Corinth was in a mess. And Paul basically wrote an ultimatum letter to him. You better get with it. Well, he sent Titus to implement the teaching of that letter. He had a lot of faith in Titus. We know a little bit more about Timothy. We know that Timothy had a Jewish mother who became a Christian. Her name was Eunice. He had a Greek father who, as far as we know, never trusted in Christ. And it was Eunice, his mother, and his grandmother Lois who instilled in Timothy the truth of God's word. It gave him tremendous depths in the training of Scripture. And Paul became a spiritual father to Timothy. He opens his first book by saying, to Timothy, my true son in the faith. And then his second letter, to Timothy, my dear son. So Paul sent Timothy to Ephesus to oversee the church there, one of the churches that Paul had founded. And Paul knew that Timothy was going to have a hard time there. He knew it was going to be tough. Leadership's tough. Owning your influence is tough. And he knew that Timothy was going to have some challenges there. He also knew Timothy's personality. Timothy was a bit timid, easily intimidated. And so he writes in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 7 and 8, for this reason, Timothy, I remind you, fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of hands. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power. It gives us love. It gives us self-discipline. It's the Spirit who gives us those things. So don't be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord and me, his prisoner. It was like a coach that gets into the face of a player because he has some things he's got to tell that player. It's urgent. Remember, Paul's about ready to leave the earth. He knows it. And he says, Timothy, here's some things you have got to know. And all through the book, he's reminding Timothy, own your influence. It seems he gets word that Timothy wants to leave Ephesus because it's hard there. Owning your influence is hard. And so he tells Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3, as I urged you in Macedonia, stay there in Ephesus. Don't leave, Timothy. You got work to do there. In 1 Timothy 1:8, Timothy, my son, I give you this command in keeping with the prophecies once made about you so that by recalling them, you may fight the battle well, holding on to the faith. In 1 Timothy 4, he says, Timothy, I know you're a little timid, but you got to command and teach these things. And I know some people are saying, Timothy, you're too young, but don't buy it. Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers. 1 Timothy 4, don't neglect your gift. 1 Timothy 5, give the people these instructions. 1 Timothy 6, Fight the good fight of faith, Timothy. You keep fighting. 2 Timothy 4, but you keep your head in all situations. Timothy, you're going to have some situations in your life. Man, it's going to be tough, but you keep your head. Endure hardship. Timothy, you didn't think when I left you in Ephesus, this was going to be a cakewalk. This is tough. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Share the message of Christ. Discharge all the duties of your ministry. I love Paul's reminders to Timothy. Reminds me that Timothy was a work in progress. And we are too. No one has arrived. And we need to be reminded to stay the course. We need to be reminded to endure hardship. Fight the good fight. We're all a work in progress. None of us has arrived. And that's encouraging to me. Here I see Timothy. Paul continues to challenge him. Just like Scripture always challenges us. 1 Timothy 4:15 says this, Timothy, be diligent in these matters. Be disciplined. Give yourselves wholly to them. Don't hold back so that everyone may see your progress. Isn't it amazing? We are not just to fit in. We are not just to meander through the Christian life. Paul tells Timothy, and he's telling us, do the work. Be disciplined. Do the things you need to do. Have the character you need to have. Give yourself wholly to Jesus Christ. Don't hold back. Paul wants everyone to see Timothy's progress. Same with us. God's placed each of us in strategic places at strategic times. No one else but you. God has this there for a purpose, not just to fit in, but stand out as a follower of Jesus Christ. And each of us, regardless of age, regardless of personal circumstances, God wants us to own our influence, to grasp it, to embrace it, to grow in it. Because the world desperately needs to see what it looks like to follow hard after Jesus Christ, to see the progress. It comes down to this, doesn't it? It's not what you have. It's what you leave. That's what legacy is all about.
And please stay with us. Ron returns in a few moments with a special announcement. Do you know the signposts that trace a successful journey to a lasting legacy? Have you examined the way you're walking through life's ordinary and critical moments? Well, those turn-by-turn directions are the focus of Ron Moore's sermon titled, Owning My Influence. In this challenging message, Ron explores five legacy landmarks, including embracing your spiritual identity, having a passionate life purpose, and engaging in the unseen battle that rages around you. Owning My Influence is yours free of charge on CD or as an MP3 download with your visit to ronmoore.org. Again, that web address, ronmoore.org, or you may call toll-free 866-777-1202. That's 866-777-1202. Now, here's Ron with a special announcement.
Well, I want to give you a special invitation to join us at the Bible Chapel at our South Hills location, that's in McMurray, for Journey to the Cross. Journey to the Cross is a walk-through reflection of Jesus' final hours and the events that led to the fulfillment of God's plan for salvation. This is a great event for adults and children as well. You can count the coins used to betray Jesus. You can hold the nails, reflect at the foot of the cross, even smell the incense used in the embalming process. Prepare your hearts for Easter this season as you connect with the story of Christ's passionate, sacrificial love that He poured out on us. So visit the Bible Chapel's South Hills campus from Tuesday, March 27th through Thursday, March 29th from 6 to 9 p.m. Then on Friday, March 30th from 10 a.m. until 6 p.m. for more information, visit BibleChapel.org. That's BibleChapel.org. And as always, thanks for joining us on the journey.
and we encourage you to get your copy of Owning My Influence. There you'll discover the five landmarks that guide us toward an enduring legacy. Owning My Influence is available free of charge on CD or as an MP3 download at ronmoore.org. That's ronmoore.org. Or you may call toll-free 866-777-1202. That's 866-777-1202. Have you missed any of Ron's messages or series? Well, you'll find them when you click the broadcast button at ronmoore.org. And if the journey has brightened your day and deepened your walk with Christ, won't you tell your friends and family about our program? Also, please keep in mind that the journey relies on your generous gifts to pay for the airtime that makes this broadcast possible. Again, our address is ronmoore.org. Your gift today will be deeply appreciated. Thanks for listening, and we invite you to join Ron next time as we walk together on the journey.